Joining me now on this segment of Access Indy to discuss the legacy and impact of Bill Mays, particularly in media, is a media legend in her own right. She is Eunice Trotter. Trotter purchased the Indianapolis Recorder in 1987 and served as its editor-in-chief and publisher until 1991. And it was at that time when she sold the historic black paper to Mr. Mays. Eunice was also the first African-American woman to serve as an editor for the Indianapolis Star, the largest daily paper here in this state. She knows about the media and she knows the business of the media. Eunice, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk about, you know, something and someone dear to my heart.
Can you discuss with me your relationship with Mr. Mays, how you met Mr. Mays, and how you two connected?
Well, Kim, I actually met Bill when he came through the Indianapolis Star newsroom shortly after he purchased Mays Chemical. That's how I met him. We connected again when Bill had an interest in acquiring another black weekly newspaper here. It was called Visions. It was a small weekly operated by the Saxons, Phil Saxon and his wife Jane. Jane used to be a reporter at Channel 13. And he came to me and asked what I thought about him purchasing it. And that's when we began to discuss media and the need that Indianapolis had for media. And so we talked about it, and he expressed an interest at that time in the Indianapolis Recorder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe he did invest in Visions newspaper. It was a feature publication. I don't know if you remember that publication.
Yeah, I do.
Some of your listeners would remember it, but I guess it survived 3 or 4 or 5 years. It was more feature-oriented, and it was geared somewhat to the black business community.
Yes.
A few years after that purchase or that investment that he made in Visions, Bill expressed an interest in purchasing the Recorder. But the family wasn't prepared to let go of any of its ownership at that time. And when I refer to the family, I'm talking about the Stewart family.
Mm-hmm.
Was not interested in letting go of any ownership, but needed some help. And at that time, I had left my employment at the Indianapolis Star to start a PR business, which actually handled the PR for a number of African-American-focused organizations and others in the city. And the family contacted me because that's where I started, Kim, as a reporter, as a teenager.
Yeah.
At the Recorder, so.
I think so many of the African-Americans who have been around in this market working for a long period of time have some sort of history with the black press and the black media here in this town. And oftentimes the Indianapolis Recorder is there. They're part of my history, too.
Oh, I didn't know that. Telling me something new. I didn't realize that. Great.
Yes, I did. I wrote for the Recorder. And at one point in time, I also sold advertising for the Recorder, so I was on that marketing and advertising staff, doing kind of double duty.
That's wonderful, because that newspaper, like you said, was a springboard for a lot of African-Americans who were interested in the media. It's not just in contemporary times, but historically, the paper has been there. So when the family decided they wanted to divest themselves of ownership as members of the family became older and wanted to come out of that day-to-day grind, I was contacted and did, in fact, put my PR business inside of the Recorder, thinking foolishly that I could run the business, my own business and the Recorder. And that demand became just too much. And so I just couldn't do it. And let it go and focused on the Recorder.
During your tenure, you know, at the Recorder, and you know, there was a boon in journalism and grooming of a staff and setting very, very high standards and whatnot. Was Mr. Mays around at that point in time
no.
at all?
Well, yes and no. Mm-hmm. As I continue my tenure there, it became apparent that there was an opportunity to purchase control and interest. So I was able to put together enough money to buy that interest from the family.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did that, I did talk to Mr. Mays about that, not from the perspective of seeking his investment, because I didn't need it, but from the aspect of seeking his wisdom as a businessman. I was a journalist, not a businesswoman. I didn't know accounting principles. I didn't know marketing principles. So I talked to Bill about that, and he agreed mm-hmm. to be on my board. I formed a board of directors, and Bill was one of the people on my board of directors, as was Frank Lloyd, who played an instrumental role in
Dr.
WTLC,
yes.
And several others, Tom Benford, Faye Williams, and others, agreed to be on the Charles Williams on the board. And so I had this strong board of directors, and, you know, I'm a 30-something-year-old at that point. And they're giving
But you had enough wisdom to know that building that kind of expertise was important and critical to your success. And Mr. Mays has always had this history, the things that folks know about him, of giving advice and to help others in business, whether it was some sort of financial investment or just giving solid advice. People do know that.
He did, and that was what he did, and he did it on a regular, and I had a lot of access to him, so he would give me advice regularly. And so when my children became teenagers, there was just a lot of pressure to be in so many different places, and I thought at that point, it might be a good idea to allow that paper to go into the hands of someone who could give it more resources and attention, because I didn't have any left to give them at that newspaper at that point. Because a newspaper is grueling, and Bill and I would talk about the grueling nature of that business. It is almost 24/7 you're on. So Bill decided that he was interested in taking the control. By that time, we had already put together the JAWS, which is the Journalism Awareness Program. We had converted to full color. We had done a lot of those things that people see. But what we still hadn't done was gotten its finance to the level that it could get brand-new equipment. It could make improvements in the facility and that kind of thing. And Bill had those resources. Not only did Bill have those resources, he also had the willingness to make sure that the Recorder's Legend was maintained. So we sat down and we decided this was going to happen. Now, in the interim, I had several offers, Kim,
mm-hmm.
to purchase the Indianapolis Recorder from me. And the offers were several times greater than the deal Bill and I made. So he got my interest for a song and a dance, as he would say to people. He really did. But I felt that there was no way that I could allow the Recorder to leave the control of the community. And so Bill did purchase the paper and wanted to make it a positive, a newspaper. He didn't want the negative in the paper. And we used to fuss about that a lot because my opinion as a old school hard journalist was
mm-hmm.
news is not always pretty.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is. And I think our responsibility as a newspaper is to, you know, to call it like it is. And but he wanted to reflect the positive things that are going on in the community. And I would always say, oh, that's wonderful, but we can't ignore the negative. And, you know, while we agreed that murders don't need to be the headline every week, my position was they need to be in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And that issue of death in the Black community, violent death, needs to be examined and dealt with. His was, let's not put it in the paper. So we had that difference in opinion. And he, though, continued to have a publication to this day that focuses on and accentuates the positive.
For his philosophy regarding that and uplifting people, what do you think that it did? What was its effects on the psyche of Black Indianapolis and beyond?
Well, I think that it's good to do positive news. It's good to report the good things that are going on with people. That's all positive. But we don't want to put people to sleep, is my position. We want people to know that there are real hard issues out there that need to be dealt with. And this is what they are, and this is who is involved in these issues. So you have to have a media that is going to tell it like it is, or people won't have any way of knowing what's going on. They fall into a lull.
Mm-hmm, and a slumber.
Yes.
He was able to also expand his media empire to co-ownership of broadcasting facilities, particularly this station right here. This is WTLC, but it appears on the signal 106.7. And at that time, 106.7 was KISS. And Mr. Mays was in partnership with Bill Shirk. And they launched Hot 96.3. Who's your Hot 96.3?
Yeah,
it was Hoosier 96.3. Yeah. And it expanded to 106.7 and then to the jazz station 100.9 and also the television station Wave TV. What do you think about his thoughts on the control of media and Black people taking charge of their own media and their own images?
Well, I think it's critical. If we have to tell our own story, and we have to decide who we are. I don't think that should be done for us. So I just applaud him always for what he did in terms of acquiring media. You know, media is power. And
absolutely.
And media is control. You know, so that all of that is wonderful. I think that it also created so many opportunities for people, Kim, as you know, particularly for African-American people, his ownership and his involvement in those media.
Let's talk about his lasting legacy. Mr. Mays has passed from us, his funeral on Friday, and the recorder goes on and we still see it on the stands in all of its full four-color glory, looking really, really good. Do you think Bill, maybe in the afterlife, he's really proud of what he did? What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I think he's proud of what he did. I saw Bill this year at a concert. We got to chit-chat briefly. But, yeah, I think he is, and I think he should be. The paper does look good. It really does. And, you know, I always tell people that before he purchased it, we were already four color. We were already multiple sections.
Mm-hmm.
But I always fuss, and people who know me know this is part of me, about the content. You've got to have some news and substance. You got to be out in the community. Now, not just with your publication, but with your feet.
Mm-hmm.
It is so important that our young journalists be trained to be a part of the communities and to be involved and entrenched in the community so that they know what's going on.
And the people will come to them and talk.
Yes, you have to know. You know, it used to be when newspapers were started, they would always be built on front streets. Front streets is what would was the word, the description of where they were. So the Indianapolis Recorder was located on Indiana Avenue, and that was the biggest front street that there is. Now, as the changes occurred on Indiana Avenue, the Recorder was relocated, really with the help of one of the city fathers, Bert Servais.
Mm-hmm.
And it was located to its present place because the family could not get financing necessary to buy another facility. Even though their personal credit was fine, and even though they had been in business at that time 80 years.
Wow.
Now that should resonate with a lot of listeners. That old business with that much heritage had to have that kind of support. So it's in a location now that's not necessarily on a front street. And so I would like to see the Recorder return to its rightful station in this city, to be that power base, to be that place where people would stop in and bring that news, to be that force. And I'm just praying that with Bill's passing, that the legacy will continue, and not only will it continue, but it will be strengthened, and it will be that force.
Thank you, Eunice. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your candor. And those are some powerful words about an institution in this community that is the Indianapolis Recorder that Mr. Mays himself wanted to see flourish and that he wanted to see continue to serve this community. Any words to the family and to those, really the employees over, you know, at the paper that may be listening to this, that they're still trying to digest a leader that has gone from their midst?
Well, I know this might be a time of uncertainty for the staff, and I'm just positive that it is a horrible time of grief for the family, for Rose and for Bill's daughters and for Caroline, who I know, and just for the family, period. I just have and will continue to extend my deepest sympathies. We've lost a soldier here in this city that I don't know if we can replace in this lifetime or even next lifetime, because he was all of that and then some. But I just want to reassure the staff and the city that the Indianapolis Recorder has been in business more than 100 years, and it needs our support. And that's done through purchasing it. Yes, it needs positive words. Yes, we need you to go to the website. But it needs to be purchased. And it would be wonderful if we subscribed. I think that as long as that paper is here, we have a voice. And that's what we all must be really, really, really concerned about, maintaining that voice.
Thank you. She is Eunice Trotter. Currently, she serves as a communication specialist for American Senior Communities, and she is a diehard media maven to our heart. Journalist, my girl. I appreciate you so much for joining me here on the show to talk about Mr. Mays and his contributions to the media and to the black media. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Kim, for having me. And I just appreciate you and the show and all that you do.
Thank you. I'm Kim Wells, and this is Access Indy here on 106.7 WTLC.